Let us declare the greatness of our God and give honor to his teaching and instruction, the Torah.
Baruchu et Adonai Mevorach.
Blessed Adonai who is blessed.
Baruch Adonai Mevorach Leolam Vayed.
Blessed is Adonai who is blessed now and forever.
Baruch Adonai Mevorach Leolam Vayed.
Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Vaidaber Aaroni el Moshe l'amor, Pinchas ben Eleazar ben Aaron ha-Kohen, chashiv et chamati ma'al ben Yisrael b'chanati את קנתי בתוכם ולא קלתי את בני ישראל בקנתי. Zeal. He says, he was zealous with my zeal among them. He didn't say he was zealous with his zeal. He said he was zealous with God's zeal. Energy, drive, love, act upon. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, thank you for your word. Be with us today as we explore the many dimensions of it. Isaiah 54:15.
Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake.
Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake when you walk with Elohim. Numbers 25:10-13.
Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, Behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel.
My zeal, he says, basically was in him. He put his zeal, his energy, his drive for being upright, he put that in Pinchas, just like he put it in us to come back to the word with its original intent. His zeal is what drives us back to the scriptures over and over, keeps us digging, keeps us exploring, keeps us understanding what we can apply. My zeal is another way of saying I was in him and made him receive this. Seemed to be impulsive instruction. I made him receive this instruction. Scripture is saying that what Pinchas did was a godly act. Thus, for his obedience through this violent act of atonement, he received the covenant of peace, the same as Yeshua. Isaiah 54:10.
For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy upon you.
Brit Shalom. Brit Shalom. The prophets say that we are going to receive this covenant of peace. Only through Yeshua do we receive it from his obedience and his gift of laying down his life for us. Ezekiel 34:20-31.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. And there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God.
Every day there's another soul coming into the ways of God. And little do they know, many times we become Israel when we do. When we come back to the ways of Yeshua, the ways of God, and the ancient ways, we come back to his kingdom. Ezekiel 37 talks about this same thing, this covenant of peace. Scripture says that God's chosen people receive the same covenant from the obedience of Yeshua. From his obedience, we receive Brit Shalom, the covenant of peace. Ezekiel 37, 24 through 28.
David, my servant, shall be king over them. They shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore.
He says that God's people will receive a covenant of peace. Those who are willing to come in to what Ezekiel 37 says, statutes, commandments of God, his ways. And in the future, Isaiah says in 54:13,
all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children.
All our children, all our descendants will be taught by Elohim, by God. And that's a very important, because it's the zeal that he's going to put in them that's going to make them want to be taught by him. This is what we strive for. We want God to visit us. We want to wash a mikvah and go into the Word and open our hearts with humility. Remember I said last week, humility is the most fertile soil for God's Word to blossom in a soul. Always remember that, humility. Without humility, the Word will not blossom in our soul. Humility is the key. Yeshua was meaning this when he said, deny yourself and take up your cross after me. It's meaning, get humble. Be humble before the Lord. Our children will be taught by Elohim, by God. In Numbers 27, this parsha, Pinchas, is about Pinchas rising up and killing syncretism. And it's also about some young ladies that rose up and said, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not among the company of them that gathered themselves together against Elohim in the way of the company of Korach, but he died in his own sin and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give to us a possession among the people of our father. And Moshe brought their case before Adonai. Numbers 27, 3 through 6.
Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord, in the company with Korah. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moshe brought their case before the Lord.
They were asking about their inheritance. What do we inherit? How do we inherit? To receive an inheritance, one has to return to the giver. The lawyer that acts as a representative to execute a will. The parent that leaves a business or farm or even a car. The point is that the gifted has to return to receive the gift. What is our gift? Our inheritance is that of life and light. That of living water, that is of breath. It is the Father. And to receive that gift, we have to understand who the giver is. The giver is Echad, one. And God said to Moshe, Exodus 3:14.
God has said to Moshe, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
And Yeshua said to them, John 8:38.
I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father.
He said in Scripture, most assuredly I say to you that before Abraham was, I am. Now see that I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Deuteronomy 32:39.
Now see that I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand.
John 8:24.
Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Yeshua came to represent his Father's instructions. So in John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. If he came to start another religion, he would have said so. But he did not. He came to represent the truth of the light. The Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Deuteronomy 4:39.
Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other.
In John 3:13.
No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven.
The giver is Elohim, the Lord God and the Lord Yeshua. What is the gift? The gift is the light of life, Proverbs 6:23.
For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
And John 8:12.
Then Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Right here is explaining that he is walking the Torah in its original intent, without religion. The gift is living waters, Isaiah 45:8.
Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
John 7:38.
He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
See, this is what we're doing right now, is remes. We're taking from the prophets and showing what Yeshua is talking about that refers back to the prophets. Justifying himself. The gift is life. Proverbs 3:17-18.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her.
And go jump, remember to John 11:25-26.
Yeshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
The gift is truth. Psalms 119:42.
So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word.
And Psalms 119:142 says, your righteousness is everlasting and your Torah is true. John 14:6.
Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
The prodigal son returned home to receive his inheritance. One has to return home. Today I'm going to go into the story of the prodigal son. And I want to show you this. We got to go back in time and look when this was being said. When Yeshua was teaching about the prodigal son, those who were listening knew Hebrew and knew the Torah and knew the history of the prophets. And they knew that this was not about religion. This is about the restoration of the house of Israel. The prodigal son has so much scripture connected to it that I had to omit some of it. There was so much. It was almost too much. But the prodigal son will read, and then we'll go over it verse by verse. Luke 15, 11 through 32.
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Now this is just the surface. If one doesn't have the knowledge of Scripture as the people did back then, Yeshua knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the prodigal sons, those who were wanting to come home. He says here, we go to verse 11, a certain man had two sons. Two sons. This is Ezekiel 37, 15 and 17.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it, for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions.
Now these are the two sons, Ephraim and Judah, the two kingdoms. It says right here, what does it say here? So he divided to them his livelihood. The kingdom was divided. Israel became divided. The house into the house of Ephraim, Israel, and the house of Judah, Israel. Verse 12. Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. This is the Torah, the instructions of God, the inheritance. And then verse 13. The younger journeyed to a faraway country Ezekiel 11:14-21.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there. They will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God.
Now this younger, these two brothers, the younger, was the one who was dispersed. He leaves with his inheritance, just as the northern kingdom represented Ephraim, Joseph, the younger brother. The northern kingdom represents the younger brother, Judah. The house of Judah represents the older brother. And then he goes to a faraway country, so here's a dispersion, a picture of the dispersion. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, which is wasteful living. He wasted his inheritance. He disregarded a walk with the Father in his instructions. This was his inheritance. Proverbs 28:9.
One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
Psalm 66:18.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
Well, this has been going on for 2,000 years. Ephraim's been scattered. And he has carried his heart with a lot of iniquity. He has turned his back on the teaching and instruction of God. Prayers quit getting answered. 1 Peter 3:9.
Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing.
We were called into this. In verse 14, while this man was in the faraway lands, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Amos 8:11.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
And then verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He became a pagan servant. He entered the foreigner's lifestyle to serve that lifestyle. And then he sent him into the fields to feed swine, following fox doctrine. This is represented in verse 16. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This is a type and shadow of us in the dispersion. We've been out, we've been syncretized, we've been working in a culture as a servant to that culture that dictates to us what holidays we take off, what holidays we observe. We basically have been feeding swine. Deuteronomy 28:64.
Then the Lord will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone.
This was the younger brother in the dispersion, out there with nothing but pigs to feed. Deuteronomy 28:28.
The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart.
And no one shall save you. In verse 16, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 6.
Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. According to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
So when it says, but when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, this is aiming right at Deuteronomy here when it says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where you have been driven, where God has driven you. We have to call those things to mind to return to Elohim. Acts 12:11.
And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.
This phrase, he came to himself. This prodigal son came to himself. Means he teshuvad. He returned back to what he was supposed to be thinking in the beginning. The realization of where he messed up. And then it hits him, verse 17. How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Exodus 16:4.
Then the Lord said to Moshe, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my Torah or not.
How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare? Exodus 23:25.
So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless you with bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Psalms 37:25.
I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread.
How this young man is thinking about this. How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. John 6:33-35.
For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Now this picture, these people are realizing this picture of this bread. How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger, is a metaphor for those who are outside the camp with God. The ones who walked with him receive the bread. And then it hits him, confession. Luke 15:18-19.
I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.
1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Do you see how this is traveling with this prodigal son? Am I confusing a lot of people? If you go back, as I said before, Scripture interprets Scripture. When we look at this prodigal son scripturally, not as a happy little Christian story, but as something that's really speaking and yelling at us, this is about the restoration of the house of Israel, raising up the lost, dispersed sheep. Luke 15:20.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
But when he was still a great way off, which is a metaphor for us, those afar off, he's referring to those afar off, those who are trying to come back. Acts 2:39.
For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
And then verse 21, Luke 15:21, the confession again.
And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Luke 15:22.
But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet.
Genesis 41:42, a robe.
Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck.
This is the robe and the ring. And who was it put on? The younger brother who was in Mitzrayim, which is a picture of us in a culture that's based on Mitzrayim. Isaiah 61:10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
The ring, Esther 8:2.
So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman.
Judah will also receive this ring. This ring is Haggai 2:23.
In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts.
And the sandals, Acts 12:8.
Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me.
The sandals represent a walk with God. And then verse 23, 15:23, Luke 15:23.
And let us bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
It's a type and shadow of the wedding feast. The bride coming back to the Messiah, the groom. Luke 15:24.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
And then, 15:25.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing.
Yehuda, the older son, is Judah. And he was jealous. Go ahead with 15:26-30.
So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.
It's a picture of jealousy because he had been in charge of the Torah all these years. He said, I was with you all this time. I guarded your commandments. I guarded your Torah. Yet this younger guy comes back wild and goofy like a donkey. He has devoured your livelihood with harlots. This goes right with Hosea, the book of Hosea. Spiritual harlotry. Clinging into syncretism. Clinging into pagan-based ideologies mixed with the word of God. Is devouring God's livelihood, his Torah. Judah was jealous. Deuteronomy 32:21.
They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation.
Which goes right to Romans 10:19.
But I say, did Israel not know? First Moshe says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation.
Ephraim, Messianic Israel, builds this beautiful ark. A woman who was an artist, I believe it was a woman, she built this beautiful ark replica and put it out front to Jaffa Gate. My daughter was there when they did. And it had Yeshua on it. And there was some Hebrew, but Yeshua is Lord, was written. Well, it wasn't there 24 hours before it was smashed to pieces. People just beat it to pieces. Because you have, on each side, you have replacement theology. In Christianity, you have replacement theology that we've replaced Israel. And in Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, they say everybody's going to come back Orthodox Jewish. So you have the two are in the same situation. But like I said about the rabbi that became, the Orthodox rabbi that became Messianic, received Yeshua, I was a house with no roof. When Yeshua found me, he said, I became a whole house. Completed, not converted. This is a word. Convert, convert, convert. People have used this word over and over and over. But when you come into the ways of God, and you come into the Torah with Yeshua, you are not converted into anything. You are completed. Because we are the ones in the diaspora coming back with the Spirit of God to the teaching and instruction. We get completed. And the Orthodox Jewish man who's guarded the Torah all his life, I was with you, Father, all these years. And he sees the Son, Yeshua. He becomes completed. And then you have the two there together, where two or more are gathered, that I am in their midst. Two completed souls. Carries the spark of God. And this is so powerful because this whole story of the prodigal son, when you look at it scripturally, let scripture interpret it, it describes the restoration of the house of Israel. 31, Luke 15, 31 through 32.
And he said to him, Son, you were always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Son, you were always with me. Meaning, son, you were always Torah observant. You always walked with me. But, Matthew 15:24.
But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
This is the spirit of Yeshua, who is still seeking out, one by one, the prodigal son. One by one. And after we're dead and gone, he's still going to be pulling them out. He was pulling them out way before we were born. He was pulling them out in Acts 2. He was picking out his prodigal sons that were coming home. and slaughtering the fatted calf, giving them the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, to guide them in the fullness of his teachings so that they could digest all the Word of God, not just the surface words. So when we look at these parables and these stories of Yeshua, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because that's what this is about. The coming home. The coming back to the ways of Elohim. It's not about a religion. It's about the restoration of the house of Israel. Brother Daryl has Haftarah.
The Haftarah is for this portion is 1 Kings 18:46 through 19:21. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Again. And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael, the king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. And then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again for what I have done to you. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Just one of the nuggets that I pulled out of this that I found very interesting and connected it in with Joshua 10 was, some of you know, I'm very big into etymology and the meaning of names. And the name of Baal means owner or master or lord. However, that name contextually was a solar deity. This is now where the people are worshiping the creation over the creator. They're worshiping the sun. They're worshiping the moon, as opposed to worshiping the God who created those things. And if you go to Joshua 10, you'll see that during the battle against the Amorites, he's there once again. You know, Elijah is slayed all of these prophets, but Joshua is slaying the Amorites, and he asks for the sun to stand still, so he could have enough daylight to finish slaying all the Amorites. It would not give him a refuge of darkness to hide in. There's not going to be any place for them to hide. And God granted that request. And he even says that it's the first time that he's done this at the request of his creation, his children. So, but there's another point taken in this, is that the very God that they are worshiping, the sun God, God turns it to be a co-conspirator in their own death. He uses their own son to kill them. He uses their own God to kill them and Joshua. And so, and another point just to make is that Joshua's name is a mighty name. It's my God is Yahweh. That's what his name means. So here, the man whose name is God is Yahweh, he's living out as this great warrior, slaying these prophets of Baal. But it took the voice of a woman to stop him where he was and actually make him want to commit suicide. He wanted to die right there. And so sometimes we have to make sure that we encourage each other, because we may be at the very peak of our relationship with the Torah, with God, the God of the Torah. But we can always, we might always have a small place that we're vulnerable. So we should always encourage each other. So just some things that I pulled out from that. Thank you for letting me read, and thank you for letting me share that.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet. V'chaye olam nata betochenu, Baruch ata Adonai noten haTorah.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, sovereign of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth, implanting with us an eternal life. Blessed are you, Adonai, who gives the Torah.
Blessed is Adonai, who is blessed now and forever.
Let's join together in the Aaronic blessing. Yivarech Adonai ve'ishmaecha Ya'eh Adonai panev alecha ve'yunecha Yisa Adonai panev alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. A blessing over the wine. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine, and the blessing over the bread. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, ha-melti lachamin ha-aretz, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and over all kinds of food. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei mine mazonot, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of all kinds of food. Shabbat shalom.